So, it's Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, Father Teresa, the greatest black atheist, winecellarmedia.com, Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice, Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kaleeder, and Fallon Matthew with FallonKitty.com, our writer of books and whatnot and what have you. So this one, this is not the first time, but this is one of the first few times that we are actually broadcasting, sitting right next to each other, and simulcasting it with the YouTube and the Blog Talk Radio, but also making a recording of it while doing that, so that I can just immediately scrap the Blog Talk Radio and then just upload the edited recording, which I think will just be it comes out cleaner, actually. Like Blog Talk Radio now allows for high definition sound if you upload it. Yeah, that's real cute. That's real cute, buddy. Alright, it is. And so, what we'll be riffing about, sort of like, in between, headlining and dipping through some news stories, is, this idea of social justice for kids. Cause I think about that, son. It's like, we always talk about with adults, it's like, you gotta get the young. I mean, that's what really, like, cultish people do. It's what churches do. That's what people of particular political ideologies do. They go after them young and early, quick. They want to get to them. They put the shit in kids' movies and whatnot. Right. You know, we were just having a damn good time watching the movie Ants. And a line in that movie is, the workers control the means of production. That's an actual sentence in the movie Ants. You know, so I mean, yeah, go after the fucking kids. And then also, see how I said fucking kids? Like, if I know I'm specifically making something that I know that, like, social justice minded adults will want to share with their kids, I will mindfully avoid saying, fucking fuckers. You know, like,
jack-knuckled
fucksticks. Yeah, I probably won't call people jack-knuckled fucksticks, full voice it.
No.
Yes, because we are sharing one microphone that sits between us. When we can invest in microphone stands, then you'll have your own microphone stand in front of you. I'll have one in front of me. And it'll be cool and the gang, if you will. Right?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Cool and the gang. Yeah.
No, there is no gang here. We are not a gang.
Yes, we are. Streets.
You know what's of Warrenville. You know what's going down in the streets.
The mean streets of Warrenville. You're damn right. I was just out in Wheaton earlier. Yeah. Mobbing through the aisles of Target, son. Trying to ride up on these motherfucking surge protectors, nigga. Like a real G. Alright. So among the stuff, the things, the whatnot, and the what have you, looking at winecellarmedia.com, there's a write-up, there's some quotes from some women that say Hillary Clinton do not represent them. You can find that as of right now, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, and at the top of winecellarmedia.com is that Phoenix Kaleeder has the updates on the Louisiana flood. She has that on Reading in the Shade. And detained immigrant ROMs strike to get out dead or alive. A Mexican scientist, glow-in-the-dark concrete, could help light up cities without electricity. Hell, light up the suburbs, too. It's fucking dark out here. They have such a minimal amount of street lights out here. It is creep-tacular. I'll tell you what, a prison guard raped an inmate daily for months, and authorities approved. They're just like, hell yeah, man, you a good feller. And gay high school students are raped and attacked for far more often. This is more of a study piece and a news story. And a guy who was named Deputy of the Year in Maine, he's a good cop, regular cop, just like any other cop. He's been indicted for 21 counts of raping three girls over the past 17 years. And our old homeboy, Lukasz Skorzewski, he's a rapist cop, New York Police Department Special Victims Unit. He's a good cop, regular cop, just like the rest of the cops. Groped a rape victim in her hotel room and blames the recklessness and carelessness and negligence of his supervisor. That's actually an update of one that we dug into back on I did this one originally on Secular TV, and then we brought the story over to the Wine Cellar. And then there's general news on rape culture in Baltimore, general updates on the rape culture out there. A little black girl violently handcuffed by an adult white man in school because, you know, school's a motherfucking safe space, nigga. Right?
Well, it will be safe as soon as we put the Negroes out.
Okay.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty, except for one man still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns. He's going the distance.
Yeah, so this guy, his name is Kenneth L. Hatch III. He's a 46-year-old decorated veteran deputy of the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office. And he was indicted Tuesday last week for 10 counts of sexual abuse of a minor. He's a rapist. 3 counts of unlawful sexual contact. He's a rapist. And 8 counts of aggravated furnishing of marijuana, so he drugs and rapes, in connection with alleged incidents against 3 victims, he's a serial rapist. All right, which came from the horrifically named for this story, the Banger Daily News. Yeah, what the fuck, dude? So Hatch, he was arrested back in June and placed on administrative leave. So he's a paid rapist, pending investigation. And the indictment from the Knox County Grand Jury came after they heard the sordid details of his crimes against children dating back to 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. Niggas was still going to blackplanet.com. So the first of his victims was under 14 at the time of the rape, not assault, and the next took place in 2001 and 2002 that we know of, with a victim who was 14 or 15 years old at the time, and the third took place in 2004 with a child who was 6 years old, according to the Assistant Attorney General John Riesler. Hatch then allegedly, he did, He sexually assaulted the same girl in 2013 and 2014 when she was 14 and 15 years old and supplied her with marijuanas from a plastic bag labeled evidence.
Oh.
Hey, they fight for you. They're good guys. They fight for your safety. They take care of you. They takes goods care of you.
So I'm just curious if whoever is in jail on the weed charge can get off now because the evidence is missing.
I don't know what you're talking about. That ain't happening. They will not do that.
It's worth a try.
They will not. It's worth a try.
It's worth a try.
But it ain't gonna happen.
It could happen.
They're gonna be like, hell no, especially if he colored.
It could.
He one of them nagger boys. Them dark skin colored boys.
This is why you have no friends.
I don't know. Facebook says I have over 1,000.
You hate the word Facebook friends.
They're all real friends. I hang out with all of them quite regularly.
I will pull up all your shit posts about why Facebook should not use the word friends.
We go down to the park and shoot hoops.
You don't shoot hoops.
Yeah, we play hoops.
You don't play hoops.
Sometimes we play a game of horse.
You don't play basketball.
We play 21. That's kind of like a every person for themselves game. Up to 21 points. Sometimes we play bump.
That's no, you don't.
Basketball type game. Every once in a while we use a half court. Sometimes we use a full court for basketball.
You don't play basketball.
We call it hoops.
You don't play hoops.
We call it ballin'.
You are not.
We call it mad dribbles. I don't know if anyone says that. Yes,
and
I do. I lace up.
This is what happens when you spend too much time on the streets in the suburbs.
Yeah. I wear Nike Air Jordans. And I take them out there and I slam dunk every once in a while. Sometimes I dribble the basketball, but like from the right hand to the left hand. So when the defender approaches me, they get crossed up, Holmes. Shake and bake.
Holmes.
Breaking their knees.
Are you like a Vato now?
Ankle breaking, yes. Yes, I'm quite the Vato, I might add.
I've never seen you lean like a cholo.
Never?
Never.
Then you've never seen me lean, fool.
No, I haven't seen you lean.
And you actually have seen me lean as though to be affiliated with a cholo organization or two. That wasn't playing the whole time. If that's the image switcher.
Oh.
Yeah, see, watch it. Bing, now it goes to black signal. See,
damn.
That's cool stuff. The fucking story.
Yeah, that thing that Jesus we do Christ. Sometimes.
Yeah, so the bag was labeled evidence. And the teen reported the incident to the Augusta police in May, stating that Hatch had offered her marijuana if she would have sex with him in the back of his police vehicle. She stated that he assaulted her, raped her multiple times over the course of 2 or 3 years. In 2015, a year-long investigation, you know, because it takes a year, by the Associated Press, not by the police, covering the previous 6 years, found that approximately 1,000 officers across the nation that we know of had their licenses revoked and lost their jobs for sex crimes that included rape and possession of child pornography. And among the estimated 1,000, some 550 were decertified for various forms of sexual assault, including rape, sodomy, or sexual shakedowns, where victims were forced to perform sexual acts to avoid arrest. The remaining officers were... Don't do that. Oh, shit.
So it's like Baltimore.
It's like everywhere.
Oh, they just put out the report about Baltimore with police doing that to sex workers.
Yeah, with police harassing sex workers and, you know, coercing sex acts in lieu of arrests. And that was in that DOJ report that they put out about the Baltimore PD. And we're all like, hey, let's not be shocked, because sex workers have been saying this forever.
But they have to pretend they're surprised. Yeah. And there are folks that, like, it's manufactured surprise because they refuse, they ignored the topic deliberately for their entire adult lives, maybe some of their adolescence as well, but their entire adult lives, they've deliberately ignored it. So now it's like, holy fuck, man. Oh yeah, let's see that. Let's see if it's a note saying anything about the audio. Said it's coming out when people are hopefully cracking down. Okay. Coolness. The audio's working. Yeah, so to avoid arrest, and the remaining officers were fired for sexual offenses, including possessing child pornography, voyeurism, in the guise of police work, sending graphic messages to minors, or having sex while on duty. Perhaps the most damning statistic contained within the study is that 1/3 of officers lost their jobs for committing sexual offenses against minors.
But it doesn't say how many of them faced prosecution for this, because child porn is illegal regardless of whether you're a cop or not, so they didn't include those numbers?
No, they didn't. And they don't have an incentive to. Now, let's see, and Hatch was released from jail in June on a $50,000 unsecured bail. The fuck is an unsecured bail? They didn't actually get it?
I don't know.
Unsecured bail. All right. And was ordered to not contact his victims or have any contact with girls under the age of 16. Under the conditions of his release, he is also not permitted to use drugs, drink alcohol, or possess weapons. And he's supposed to not be able to use drugs anyway. Drugs are bad. Schedule 1. A type of bond in which the defendant contracts to appear before the court on a specified date and promises to pay the bail amount later. If he fails
to appear.
If he fails to appear. Okay. That's nice.
So you only have to pay unsecured bail if you don't show up.
Huh. That's, hey, man. Wow. Cops don't get treated different. They don't get treated like they're special. Jesus Christ. And he can't possess weapons. And a study conducted by the Cato Institute found that between 2009 and 2010, sexual misconduct, rape, was the second most common complaint against police after the use of violence and excessive force. So, these motherfuckers are pirates. They're Vikings. Like, they rape and pillage. They pillage and rape. Like, it was not hyperbole 2 or 3 years ago when I said these guys are just land pirates.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they are. They rape and pillage. That's all they do. And people are glad to pay taxes for them to do it.
Yeah.
You're damn happy to pay them for it.
Right.
Alright, so what in the holy heck darn else is going on here?
This show is brought to you by the fuck that Father Teresa does not give.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Alright, well, I started the recording for the next one, so what is it? Black?
Oh, I don't know. Let me check my tabs.
Yeah, check your tabs. Check that one.
Stop it. This is not how you podcast. This is not professional broadcasting.
It's like one of them got deleted. What happened to you? You lost a tab.
You're gonna lose your face.
Gonna lose your face. That's your highest decibel yet. Look at that. What are you gonna lose your face? Yes.
And one of my tabs that you didn't close, jerk face.
Hello.
A police officer was fatally shot while responding to a call about a suspicious person in central Georgia.
The shooting took place in the city of Eastman, 9:30 p.m. Saturday night. Officer Tim Smith was shot and killed after exiting his vehicle while responding to a call. The suspect fled the scene and remains on the loose. Investigation is ongoing.
Investigation's ongoing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. That was your good news for the day. Don't say I never gave you nothing nice.
You didn't.
What? What? That was a good story. You don't like that story? Let's see if there's any updates to it.
Yeah.
If only I could type.
What in the holy heck darn else is going on with that
story? Oh, somebody got arrested.
What happened?
The man suspected in the shooting death of the Central Georgia police officer has been arrested. His name is Raheem Deeds, age 24.
Father Teresa just yelled at me to make him a sandwich.
And then another Georgia officer was shot Sunday morning in Marietta, Northwest Atlanta. Officer Scott Davis, a 10-year veteran, was responding to a report of a break-in when one of two suspects opened fire, striking Davis in the leg. Officers returned fire and wounded one of the suspects. Both wounded officer and suspect are expected to survive. Oh, and they're juvenile suspects and now in custody. And in a separate incident, a man stabbed a police officer Saturday in Long Island, New York. When police responded to a 911 call, they were met by a man armed with knives. The man stabbed the officer in the face before another officer shot the suspect. See? That was a whole stream of good news. Fucking hater.
I will take that shit down a notch. I could use some... I should, because it's not just for me. It's for anybody tuned in. They could probably use a better news story than what than just the shit that I'll fucking bring to the table. Yeah, so lace me up. What else is there?
Let's see. In Olympic Village, Ryan Lochte and three teammates robbed at gunpoint.
That's what they get.
Well, you know, you displace 70,000 fucking people to have your little competition. Someone might, you know, be upset about it.
Stop gentrifying, fucko.
Let's see. Rio de Janeiro, Ryan Lochte, an Olympic gold medalist in swimming, and three of his United States teammates were held up at gunpoint on Sunday. The American swimmers and United States Olympic officials provided few details about what happened, and the state police said they were trying to learn more. Crime was already a top concern before the Rio Games began, as Brazil's economic crisis deepened, pushing up unemployment and poverty rates. So they already had an increase in poverty and unemployment, and then they displaced 7,000 people. The Rio de Janeiro state government deployed a security force surrounding streets in the Olympic Park and Athletes' Village, and it looks something like a military compound. Nonetheless, crimes have occurred more frequently than at any other recent Olympics. On the night of the opening ceremony, the chief of security was mugged at knife point. Two coaches for Australia's rowing team were attacked and robbed in the Ipanema neighborhood, while some Olympians were robbed of belongings in the athletes' village during a fire drill. Bullets have landed in the equestrian venue, and a bus carrying members of the news media was attacked and its windows shattered. Let's see... Their taxi, so this is about the back to swimmers. Their taxi was stopped by individuals posing as armed police who demanded the athletes' money and personal belongings. All athletes are safe and cooperating with authorities. The American swimmers robbed on Sunday had left a party at Club France, a French hospitality house established for the games in the upscale Lagoa neighborhood. A spokesman for Club France confirmed swimmers had spent several hours at a party there, which began 11:30 p.m. Saturday and lasted until 5 a.m. A party featured house music, and the group had went to attend another swimmer's birthday. He said the Americans left around 3 a.m. Okay.
Hey, it's official. 9 out of 10 war criminals officially endorse Hillary Clinton. The latest, John Negroponte. Who's John Negroponte? Well, under Reagan, he created a staging grounds in South America for dictators, torture regimes, government kidnapping rings, and death squads. Well, this November, he's voting for Hillary Clinton. That's right. In Clinton's recent press release, Negroponte proclaimed Hillary, quote, has the leadership qualities that Negroponte thinks is needed for the presidency. Yeah, that's what we're afraid of. That's a Hillary Clinton press release. She's touting John Negroponte, who is the worst of the worst. And guess what? You know, it's funny that lefties want Donald Trump to disavow David Duke, but I don't hear too many liberals calling for her to disavow Negroponte and the 50 other neocon warmongers that endorsed her recently. Bill Kristol. They're all coming around. So guess what? So I'm watching on the Chris Hayes show, and there was a gaggle of liberals who frickin' just figured out that and momently pulled their head out of their asses, and they've noticed that their candidate is endorsed by warmongers. So here's Chris Hayes talking about this latest endorsement and all the trouble that's been going on. Now, let's remember that Chris Hayes wagged his finger at Susan Sarandon. He's on with Joan Walsh. We're going to talk about this. Let's get to it. Here we go.
I mean, at one level, right, you know, we're trying to win. You want as many people as possible. Right. At another level, there is this move among the most hawkish neoconservative elements of the conservative foreign policy community, the Max Boots, the folks who were
Robert Kagan,
now John Negroponte, whose history in South America is just
enabling the death squads all over Central America,
literally enabling death squads.
Yeah, he's a horrible person.
How should Clinton supporters, liberals, war skeptics feel about that?
I think people should.
You know what, Chris? You had somebody who told you how you should feel about that on your show a few months ago. Her name was Susan Sarandon, and you called her crazy. Remember that? Remember that? You wagged your finger. What are you, nuts, crazy? You had someone who was just as exasperated as you are right now on your show, and you dismissed her, marginalized her, and called her nuts. And so did everybody else sitting at this table, by the way.
Now, John Negroponte, whose history in South America is just
enabling the death squads all over Central America.
Literally enabling death squads.
Yeah, he's a horrible person.
How should Clinton supporters, liberals, war skeptics feel about that?
I think people should speak out. I mean, the thing that Charlie Pierce, the point he made, is that they sent out a statement about it. There are two different...
She thinks people should speak out. Joan Walsh. Chris Hayes, how should liberals react to this? Joan Walsh, people should speak out. Hey, guess what? We did speak out about it, Joan, and you called us Bernie bros. And you call us sexists and misogynists. And you did the most underhand, creepiest, most... That's what you did. And when a real liberal came along with a clean record who wasn't a warmonger or in bed with them... What'd you do? You crapped all over him and you smeared him. And you called him a sexist. You called me a sexist. You called Cenk Uygur a sexist. Chris Hayes called Susan Sarandon. Hey, what are you, crazy? And now, but it's okay now that you... So now all of a sudden you all got your head out of your ass. What was it that woke you up finally? What was it? Are you going to apologize now? Are you going to apologize to everybody else and Susan Sarandon? And Katie Helper? Remember when you told Katie Helper? I don't know what you're going through, Katie, but I hope you get over it. What are you going through, Joan? Joan, what are you going through? I hope you get over it. This is what happens when you dismiss criticism of your favorite candidate as sexism. Now you're stuck with her. This is what we've been saying, you knucklehead. Joan Walsh, suddenly noticing... Her nominee has waged wars on brown-skinned people halfway across the globe. You know what, Joan? When you suddenly realize that your candidate has waged war on brown people all around the globe, you know what that is? When you realize it now, that's white privilege. That you didn't notice it before. But now you notice it. That's white privilege. Joan Walsh is a self-proclaimed feminist who trolls feminists that think war is not good for women. I've seen it happen on Twitter. Here we go. Keep Mars Mortars. Believe me, you're not going to believe all the criticisms that Chris Hayes and his panel level at Hillary Clinton right now. You remember the person that we were criticizing in the same exact way, and they were wagging their finger at us, telling us we're crazy and misogynists and we're sexists and we're pie in the sky and we're fairy dusters and wallet. And we were damaging Hillary. That was the last thing was we were damaging Hillary. This whole panel is going to sit here and damage Hillary for the whole segment. Are you ready? And what makes it gross is that they're all the same people who've been wagging their finger at people like me.
Anyone, it's a free country. Anyone who wants to endorse her is free to endorse her.
It's a unilateral thing, right? You can't control.
That letter, you know, 50 national security experts, the Times writes about it. It's positive for some people, negative for others. When the campaign chooses to send out a statement, which touts the endorsement of someone like John Negroponte, I think the left is right to scream about it.
Oh, now we have permission from Joan Walsh. Now I can criticize her for being a warmonger and you're not going to call me a messiah. Joan Walsh said it's okay now because it upsets her finally. Finally, she got her head out of her ass long enough to realize that her nominee is horrible. A horrible warmonger. It gets worse. Wait, it gets worse. Here we go.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, right? I mean, she's come from the State Department. There should be people on her staff who say, John Negroponte.
Exactly.
Is this a guy who are there suburban women and that are thinking, I'm not going to vote for.
Where's the Negroponte?
I think you've got to weigh these things. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, frankly, I mean, the thing that I think there's a danger for Clinton here is that it raises. Clinton did not exactly distinguish herself in the wake of the 2009 Honduras coup either, frankly.
Do you hear what Sam Cedar's bringing up? They're bringing up everything. Now they're bringing up Negroponte. They're bringing up now Honduras. That only the leftiest of lefty people have been ever talking about her role in that. And now she's saying this is bad because of Negroponte, you know, because he organized death squads and what have you. This might look bad. This might make people, oh yeah, Honduras and Negroponte.
And so with a guy like John Negroponte, it's very hard not to make that type of connection.
Right.
They should get on the ball. This is an unforced error at best.
Sam Cedar is 100% right there. You know what else is an unforced? You know what else is an unforced error? Iraq, Honduras, Libya, Syria, the Patriot Act, the TPP, NAFTA, Glass-Steagall. Keystone Pipeline, fracking, deportations, and making Hillary Clinton the nominee also an unforced error. It's like, I swear to God, it's like these liberals are just waking up like, oh my God, she's horrible. Yes. Here we go. There's more.
Yeah, and I also think there's a deeper question, right? I mean, which is that the sort of what the foreign policy direction of this all look like. I mean, when you look at...
So now Chris is going to get worried about foreign policy. Hey, I never thought about this before. Turns out Hillary Clinton, watch...
domestic policy, those stakes are so nailed in the ground in some ways, right? I mean, like, just the composition of what Congress will be, the Senate, the House, the platform, the promises, the constituency groups, all that stuff is sort of there holding it together, right? And she can't suddenly be like, I'm going to build a wall.
And it's what she believes. It's what I believe she believes. So it's not a stretch for her.
But foreign policy is...
So Chris Hayes just said, you know, domestically, her hands are kind of tied. There's lots of groups invested in the status quo, and it's hard to get things done internally, domestically. It's a bigger, there's lots of groups that know everything about what's happening. But now he's going to say, but foreign policy-wise, she can do whatever she wants. And here he's going to say that.
Russia invades Ukraine tomorrow, you know, on day one of the presidency.
Right.
That's when the president is at its most powerful, and who knows?
And who knows? Did you hear me? He's like, it's like the first time this idea ever entered his mind. You know, if Russia decides to invade Ukraine, and she's the president, and she's listening to Negroponte and Kissinger and Bill Kristol. Yeah, you never thought about that before, Chris? What do you think Susan Sarandon was saying to you, you $6 million knucklehead? What do you think she was saying to you when you were dismissing her, you smug moron? What do you think she was saying? What do you think we all have been saying? And now he's like, oh my God! Hillary Clinton is a frickin' warmonger. Look who she's cozy. First day on the job, Chris? Didn't see any of this coming? None of you saw this coming. None of you. And the people who did, you called pie in the sky, you called them...
Instincts are more on the, go to war.
So now, they shift from that to him saying, you know, her instincts are more to go to war, Hillary Clinton. He didn't want to say warmonger. So he's like, her instincts are, you saw him looking, searching for the word, and he goes, to go to war. And Chris says, interventionists, which is a very Orwellian way to say warmonger. Her instincts are interventionists. What a watered-down word for warmonger. Her instincts are to bomb people she doesn't know.
And I hope I'm not going to sound sexist when I say this.
We'll let you know.
Yeah, it's always a good way to start. Keep going. Please continue.
As the first woman president, will she be under pressure either self-imposed or from
outside?
That's
a fair question.
To be more.
And self-imposed, particularly, I think, is in some ways the most important in that way, right? Like the conception of, and clearly it was something they thought about a lot in 2008.
That's why she didn't, reportedly why she never apologized for her Iraq vote in 2008.
So let me just break down what they just said. He just said that, she doesn't want to seem weak. Women don't want to seem weak. So her internal criticism of herself, her pressure on herself to be strong is, and then she said, that's why she never apologized for her Iraq war vote in 2008. This was talked about.
Two that I really don't want to drop is the Kissinger endorsement, which everyone keeps floating. And I mean, again, I'm not going to say it's almost midnight. I will not go through the Kissinger record, but again, you could read a bunch about.
Go to my website.
Odious.
Let me just say this. So he's acting again, disgusted about this, like surprised about all this, and then Kissinger, and that she's touting stuff like that. You don't get to act surprised about it, Chris. That's the thing. Nobody is allowed to act surprised. Even after Bernie Sanders showed up, Hillary was bragging about being Kissinger's favorite daughter. And you didn't say anything about it. These are liberal frauds, okay? That's what this is right now. It's like the first day of the campaign to Chris Hayes. He has no idea. As if there wasn't half the Democratic Party screaming this at him for the whole campaign since last August. And now they're like, hey, now that I think about it, this is really horrible.
Horrible. And again, it's just, the Kissinger thing says to me also, we keep talking about, like, well, who's going to be held responsible? And what are people's reputation going to be after the Trump thing?
Right.
And it's like, well, wait a second. Yeah. Henry Kissinger, if he's going to be welcome in open arms and like, hey, we got the husband. What that says is no one will be accountable for Trump or the people that backed him or the people that went along with all his odious things. Because if it's in the same cycle, we're saying, Hillary Clinton.
So think about what Chris Hayes just said. I've been asking the same question about, the Republicans who are now getting on board behind Donald Trump and supporting this should be ostracized from polite society forever. There should be a price to pay for this, for backing this fascist. There should be a price to pay. So what Chris Hayes just pointed out accurately is that there is going to be no price to pay. If she's in bed with people like Negroponte and Henry Kissinger, how can you now turn and try to hold people accountable for supporting? You're in bed with people. Donald Trump never committed a war crime, as far as we know. The worst he does is he offshored his tie manufacturing. So you can't now get mad at someone supporting him when you're in bed with Henry Kissinger. That's what Chris Hayes just said. So there will be no accountability for any of this. Why? Because they're horrible people who are running our country. The establishment is messed up. Chris Hayes is just coming to figure this out. Because when Bernie people were yelling that, it didn't get through the $6 million he has stuffed into his ear holes. Think about how much money that is a week.
Clinton's arguably a Democratic Richard Nixon.
I actually don't.
He just called her a Democratic Richard Nixon, and nobody said anything. Joan Walsh didn't go, "Oh, you Bernie bros, white privilege, how dare you?" They just let him say it on television. He just called Hillary Clinton Richard Nixon, and nobody said anything. So apparently we weren't crazy. It's not that Hillary Clinton is embracing Henry Kissinger and John Negroponte. It's that those guys are embracing Hillary Clinton. And it's nice to see the liberal elite, Chris Hayes and Joan Walsh, get caught totally blindsided that their candidate of choice is horrible. And it's scary to think about what she might do. They're scared. Chris Hayes is scared. Russia invades the Ukraine. Holy crap. Way to go. Way to go. It's nice to know that when a real liberal showed up, you guys smeared him. Nice to know. Way to go, you fake liberals.
Okay, what am I supposed to say about it?
Whatever you want. What you were just saying.
All right. So the article itself is specifically talking about a company called, if I could find the name of it, Westward Seafoods. And right now they are going to Puerto Rico to recruit workers to go up to Alaska. In Puerto Rico, the minimum wage is only $4.25 an hour. In Alaska, it's $9.75 an hour. So going up to Alaska seems like a good idea. But then this company talks about this job. It's on an island in Alaska. It is 800 miles away from Anchorage, which also means the nearest major hospital is 800 miles away. So if you get sick or injured, you're basically going to die. The job is killing, skinning, gutting, slicing, and beheading fish and putting them into frozen containers, which doesn't sound horrible, except the actual propaganda for the job on the website. They have videos and promotional materials specifically say workers are required to work a minimum of 12 hours a day for 7 days a week the entire time they're on the island. So 12 hours a day, 7 days a week minimum. Many employees have reported they do 18-hour shifts back-to-back every single day, sometimes for more than as many as 3 weeks before they get a day off. And if you miss a shift or you're late for shifts, you get fired on the spot and the company doesn't pay for your plane ticket back home. So remember, the nearest major airport is 800 miles away and there's no ferries to get on and off this island. You have to take a plane. So if you get fired because you cannot physically do 18 hours a day for 3 weeks at a time, 7 days a week, you have to buy your own plane ticket to go to Anchorage. And of course, if you get hurt on the job, then you just die because they're dealing with these huge machines. So, when it comes to where workers sleep, it's like a prison style kind of setup, community sleeping. And these people say they would like to get a break and a day off, but the company spokesman says no, because we have work to do. And part of the job requirement is being able to lift 50-pound boxes every 10 seconds for the entirety of the shift, that 18-hour shift. Yeah. So there's a couple problems here. First of all, these are obviously fucking, this is like slave labor. $9.75 an hour for this, and I doubt they're getting paid overtime. No health care, no days off, no breaks, no sleep, no safety precautions, no OSHA. And now they're letting these people go to foreign places. Remember, Puerto Rico's a territory, it's not a state, and recruit people to come work up here. So, I mean, I guess, yay, capitalism. Capitalism is winning, I would say. And the government in Puerto Rico is actually supporting this Westward Seafoods coming in to recruit Puerto Ricans to come up here and work, knowing that these people aren't going to be able to do the job, knowing they're going to get fired and they're going to be stuck on this island with no way home. Oh my gosh. Wow. Yeah. And if you don't, they totaled it up too. These people are required to work 126 hours a week at a minimum.
126 hours on. So I think that this just goes to, you know, all the things we typically talk about, right? This is racism, this is capitalism, this is sexism. I'm looking at pictures of the workers. Most of them appear to be indigenous. Of course, this is Alaska, so they would be Inuit. They're going to Puerto Rico to try to recruit people. There's a lot of Taino descendants and a lot of, you know, African descendants in Puerto Rico. So, of course, preying on the most vulnerable populations, offering them money, very, very minimal money for massive amounts of work. And I'm just curious to know how this company is allowed to operate, because we have federal laws that are supposed to require breaks, that are supposed to require a certain wage, that are supposed to require a certain amount of time off. 168.
That's how many hours exist in a real week.
Oh, 168 hours exist in a real week, and these people are supposed to work 126 of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you want to go up to Alaska and go do that?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Sounds hot.
For $9.75 an hour. Yeah, okay.
That's fresh.
It's fresh. But yeah, I would like to know why the OSHA regulations aren't in place. Anybody who's dealing with... bless you. Anybody who's dealing with that kind of machinery, as far as slicing fish and canning fish, shouldn't be allowed to work just because these people are falling asleep on their feet. That's a fucking hazard. And not having any sort of safety protocols on the island itself, they should have a hospital. They should have doctors on staff for accidents. You know, I'm really, really curious how this company exists and nobody's doing anything about it, which I think probably... is happening as a result of the populations that they target to work there. I'm sure that there's not a lot of employment opportunities for Native people, considering racism, you know. And then I want to know how leaders are in other places are suggesting that their own people go work here. This is pretty horrific. I don't know. What else do I got? I think that's it. I think so.
WineCellarMedia.com.
It's Moral Monday. And you're in the wine cellar.
It's now time for Big Gay News, brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Shane Luke in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, August 15th, 2016. First up, Big Gay News from Minneapolis. Former Minnesota banker ousted because he's gay, the court rules. The Star Tribune reports Stephen Haberstad came out to his family and wife in his 50s, which led to a divorce, family conflict, and his family ousting him from the family banking business in southeastern Minnesota. Relatives claimed in a lawsuit that followed that he was fired for business reasons. But Haberstad argued it was because of his sexual orientation. In a ruling handed down late last month, a Steele County judge agreed, saying, quote, "The truth is, Stephen Haberstad was terminated because he is gay." The judge awarded Haberstad as much as $3.5 million, which could be one of the largest payouts in Minnesota to a single person for sexual orientation discrimination, according to his attorney, Leslie Liedemann. Next up, Daily Beast sorry for outing gay athletes. BBC reports U.S. news website The Daily Beast has apologized for publishing an article that may have outed a number of gay athletes at the Rio 2016 Olympics. Readers complained some athletes, who were not named but were identifiable from details in the article, were from countries with harsh anti-gay policies. The reporter had described how he used online dating, including popular gay app Grindr, to get dates with athletes. He also gave details of their height, weight, nationality, and a description of their profile picture. The Society of Professional Journalists, a body representing journalists in America, also criticized the ethics of the story. Others said the article could have put gay athletes' lives at risk in their home countries. In an initial apology, the Daily Beast's editor-in-chief, John Avlon, said the concerns were legitimate and edited out identifying marks. The website later decided to remove the story altogether in what it called an unprecedented but necessary step. Next up, gay high school students raped and attacked far more often. Fox News reports gay, lesbian, and bisexual high school students are far more likely to be raped or assaulted in a dating situation, according to the first national survey of its kind. The finding echoes results of smaller surveys and findings from advocacy groups, but it is the first government survey to look at the issues across the entire country. The new survey includes students in rural areas and other parts of the U.S. David W. Bond of the Trevor Project said, quote, "This is the first time we can say that nationwide these are consistent challenges faced by lesbian, gay, and bi youth." The research results are based on responses from about 15,600 students to an anonymous survey conducted last year by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Among the findings, nearly 1 in 5 of the gay, lesbian, and bisexual students said they'd been raped at some point in their lives, compared to 1 in 20 heterosexual students. The same number of GLB students reported violence from their date, twice what straight students reported. For our last story, 13 states asked judge to halt Obama administration's trans bathroom policy. Pink News reports Texas and 12 other states will ask a U.S. federal judge in Fort Worth to halt the Obama administration's plan to allow trans students to use school bathrooms based on their gender identity. In May, the federal government wrote to every U.S. school to advise them that they are obliged not to discriminate against trans people. The letter stated, quote, "As a condition of receiving federal funds, a school agrees that it will not exclude, separate, deny benefits to, or otherwise treat differently on the basis of sex any person in its educational programs or activities unless expressly authorized to do so under Title IX or its implementing regulations." In the hearing, the judge will consider a preliminary injunction that will temporarily halt the directive. According to Reuters, the states will argue that the policy is an unlawful, quote, "radical change" being forced upon them. However, the U.S. Justice Department has said that because the guidelines are not legally binding, the states do not have standing to request an injunction. That's it for today. I'm Shane Luke in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle BigGayNews.
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
What do you get when you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine? How about one convenient place to keep up with state and local Democratic politics, and a place to get a local take on national issues. Plus, interesting and thought-provoking entertainment from around the world. But that's not all. When you subscribe to Bold Blue Magazine, you're helping to elect state and local Democratic candidates. And you're helping to advance state and local progressive causes. And that helps make a difference in the lives of real people in our communities. Because every dollar of your subscription allows us at Bold Blue Media to keep costs for candidate training and services ridiculously low. So that every Democrat who wants to run for office and make a difference can. Choose your subscription level and let's get to work building something great together. Subscribe today.
You know, it's hard.
And kids get, like, the good idea stuff from the beginning, right? Sharing and caring. And we mentioned the movie Ants, you know, or like, I mean, you could look at movies like A Bug's Life does the same thing where the grasshoppers, where the ants realize there's more of them than the grasshoppers so they can stop them from taking what they work for all year. You know, and, but with social justice for kids, we can start applying these things to real people in real life, like with housing and banking and real labor that real human beings do. So, like start showing a kid, take those moments, pay attention to society around you and point things out to the kid and explain them. Like when you see, like some fast food employee taking out the garbage and moving kind of slow. And it's like, they, you know why that person's moving slow? Because they already worked 40 hours this week and now they're being forced to work off the clock and not even get paid because they're not allowed to get overtime and they're exhausted and they have to go to their other job and they might still be a student and they have to help with their family at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and then look at this person who's who's crispy and comes from privilege, who's like yelling at them.
Right.
You know, hurry up and get my, you know, food-like product that I may consume it.
I think one of my favorite things to do, and this is something I saw a lot when my oldest was in private school, you know, bougie private school, is how the parents would act at private school with each other and towards the teachers. It was all very calm and very polite and very, you know, very much about impressions, right? But then you see some people outside of school. And I saw one lady, and the cashier was taking too long to ring her up, and she flipped her shit. I need to go get my kids from school, and this isn't even hard, and I don't know why you're being stupid, and it shouldn't take you this long, and this is ridiculous, and I am fucking angry because you are taking too long to do this, because now I'm going to be late picking up my kids from school. Right? This woman. But when she's at school, hi, how are you? Oh my gosh, it's such a beautiful day. I thank the Lord that the rain finally stopped. It's so nice out. They're having a sale where we get the uniforms. You might want to check that out. Did you know I'm bringing this for the potluck? It's going to be fantastic. And it's like, yeah. See how they treat people they don't have to impress and who aren't in their social class. That's how you judge a person.
Yeah. Yeah, and that person deserves to be recorded and put online forever.
Yeah.
And just archived for fucking ever.
Yeah.
Ugh. Fucking smelly smellers. So let's see what the homie right behind you said in there before we wrap it up. I had another story, but like after this short conversation, I don't want to wrap up the program on this story. And the reason why we're wrapping it up is because when I... Ooh, what did right behind you say? Said...
Bitches.
Yes, two-faced-assed B-words. I can't stand those B-words myself. So what I did, the reason why we only have 4 minutes and a few seconds left in this Blog Talk Radio broadcast is because when I moved to Illinois, I did not change my time zone with my Blog Talk Radio account. So when I set it up for 10 p.m., it started the program at 10 p.m. on East Coast time, while I'm over here in the Midwest an hour later. So that's fantastic. So I lost that time. And, the way the program is definitely going to be different, right? Like, Phoenix Loco and I, when we were first doing this, we could just rock out Monday through Friday. But that was because my work schedule worked with it. And her work schedule still does, but mine doesn't now. So I'm off work Monday and Tuesday. And so what I want to do is start my day. Then I want to take a big nap in the middle of the day so I have the energy to do this up late at night. And probably go on it at like maybe even like 8 p.m. in my time zone. And while Phoenix Kalita does stuff, and then she can join me later in the program, is what I want to do. And then the rest of the week, I don't know exactly what to do. I might just do pre-recorded uploads for the rest of the week. And then Monday and Tuesday may be the only like live broadcast, while the rest of the week is just pre-records and uploads. So that there's still content, you know, like one that you may have seen on the SoundCloud was just an upload, and it was just Phoenix Kalita talking about Puerto Ricans getting put into slavery, you know, and like just putting that stuff. And the reason why it's called Puerto Rico is because it was called the Rich Port. So that's like just a little something that you can know there. All right, so enjoy, and that's your wine cellar, and I'll teach you all sorts of things like that. Right. Hola, bye-bye.
Hello, goodbye. Hola, bye. Really? Oh my God, you're black.
What?
Yeah. This nigga said hola, bye.
Yeah. That's how you say it. At least you got to watch the show Archer. Do you want to start from the first episode now?
No.
Right. Actually, no. We can finish Forget About It first.
I am not that into Archer. Like, it's okay.
Oh, you dug it. You watched it in the shower.